At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour DDC on this gorgeous Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Will Adonick here with you. She was sitting courtside last night at FedEx Forum. She's Teresa Walker. She does it all in this state for Associated Press, and she was covering game two last night between the Grizzlies and the T-Wolves. Teresa, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Darren. I will say I wasn't quite courtside. I was second row courtside, so right behind the scores. Not a bad seat, though.
It's radio. We could fib a little. What's a row between friends, you know?
Exactly.
So the Grizzlies responded because I was stunned at Minnesota hanging 130 on Memphis in game one. But their defense responded. I mean, they've been praised all year for their defense. What was your takeaway from last night's game two?
Well, the Grizzlies got back to playing their style of basketball. The ball that got them the number two seed in the Western Conference, the number two record in all of the NBA this year. That's the thing. They get up and down the court, and we saw that. It started kicking into gear late in the first quarter, and then they just took over, opened the second quarter with an 11-2 run, finished the quarter on an 11-5 run, and then in the third quarter, it was just total domination. And they ended up posting the largest margin of victory in a postseason game for this franchise. And, the previous had been like 21 against the Clippers in 2013. 2013 is the year this franchise made it to the Western Finals. So, the Grizzlies, I'll say this. I thought all along that they would have a chance at a deep run this spring. I was starting to doubt it after Saturday night when that rust factor because a long time ago. They hadn't had meaningful games in a while, unlike the Timberwolves. But Memphis kind of did this last year, Darren. They won their play-in games. They beat San Antonio, Golden State. Then they went to Utah and won game one. The Jazz took the next four to finish off that series. So I'm really curious to see what the Timberwolves do Thursday night to respond, because the Grizzlies seem to have found a way to make sure that they covered and protected and defended the key guys. Anthony Edwards, he got some points, but it wasn't the 36 he had in the opener. And Karl Anthony Towns, he was held to 6 points in the final three quarters.
Teresa, I know they're not going to talk about it publicly, but we can talk about it on radio. Memphis is the two seed. The number one seed lost last night, and they may be losing one of their star players in Devin Booker, who's got groin, hamstring. I think it's hamstring issues. And, his availability is in doubt. If for some reason he is out, like I said, they're not going to talk about it, but that could really open up things in the West, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes, Chris Paul is on that team. We saw him have a great game in game one, but Devin Booker is the guy that really makes that team go. He's the one who makes it. He's the guy who got him to the NBA Finals last year, let's be honest, right? So if he's not in there, then what was already a fairly open postseason for the NBA, I mean, there's not a super team in this. I mean, yes, I know the Warriors now have Klay Thompson back and Draymond Green's back. They got their pieces. Steph Curry is working his way back from his injury. But the Grizzlies have just as much right to think they can go win this thing as anybody else. And for people thinking maybe this is too young of a team, because they and the Timberwolves are among the five youngest teams in the NBA. But here's the thing, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they had a very young group. When they went to the NBA Finals, they had Westbrook, Durant, and James Harden. Well, this group has got, Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, a kid in his second year, who looks like a seasoned pro. Benefit of playing all 4 years in college before coming to the NBA. Let's just say that.
Willie and I were working the Preds game, and I was following basically the game through your Twitter. And I will say this, early on, some posts that I saw did not look like it was an easy time getting into the arena. A lot of people a little disgruntled about how long it took to get in there. Those pictures that were posted, that was not good. Was that after they had already tipped? There were still that many people out in, like, the plaza?
I'll say this. The pictures, I saw them right around the time of tip-off, but it seemed like when I looked up and around, and at least the lower bowl was much more full. I mean, when they were doing pregame warm-ups, it's like, wow, there's a lot of empty seats in here. But then they filled in. I think Saturday it was a 2:30 start, and I think people came down. It was a gorgeous day. It's like, let's go hang on Beale Street, take our time, get in. You know, being a Tuesday night, maybe people tried to get a meal or something and then get in at the buzzer, you know, and try to beat it at tip-off. And, you know, in today's security age, it doesn't help. There was a report from that there was no extra security precautions after the protester in game one somehow got a chain into that building.
Teresa Walker is with us. The Memphis Grizzlies have evened their series against the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Games 3 and 4 will be up in Minnesota. So I just love how this is sort of becoming a big thing. I think for the first time, Teresa, and maybe you can give us your perspective on maybe the general interest level on the Grizzlies, and they've got to do it. Like, if they were to make a deep run and win a couple of rounds, I think they would just build off of that for the coming years, like Nashville did with the Predators once Nashville made their great run in 2017. But do you sense an interest beyond Memphis? Like, when you post your stories, do you track, you know, how many readers in the Nashville area, per se, or, you know, for example, are paying attention to the Grizzlies?
Not so much on tracking, Willie, but I'll say this. The fact that they've got John Morant, who played in the OVC at Murray State, I think there is a regional interest in him and in his career. You know, this is a guy, you know, let's face it, this is a guy who is a finalist for most improved player of the season. And, you know, there were a lot of people thought maybe he should be an MVP candidate. That can wait for next year. But, you know, he definitely has taken a big jump in what was already an impressive game. He was an all-star starter this year. And, you know, those are the kind of things, I mean, you watch some of these ads for the postseason. He's showing up in them. So, you know, that's helping, I think, advertise the Grizzlies in some of what they've got more than they've had in the past years. You know, no offense to Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, and Zebo and those guys, but, you know, they weren't really part of the national campaign to the extent that we've seen Ja be a part of. I mean, you know, him and Anthony Edwards got their own commercial for, I think it's Popeyes, you know, dipping tenders and stuff. And, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, you just didn't see from past Grizzlies. And here's the thing. You mentioned, could they go on a run and sustain this? As I mentioned, this is a young team, and they have an owner, Robert Parrott, you know, the controlling owner, who, you know, his wealth has just grown. He's been rated as one of the, now, with like $15 billion projected worth of being one of the richer owners in sports. And there was a report within the last month saying he's willing to spend what it takes to keep this group together. And here's the thing. If Ja actually wins that Most Improved Player Award, then that would qualify him to get a Supermax contract, and they could lock him down for a bit.
Wow. You hit on a couple of key points. It's a young nucleus that I think has a higher ceiling with the superstar in Morant. And you mentioned the only team that the Grizzlies franchise, going back to their days in Vancouver, that ever really had significance, that team with Zebo and that crew and Mike Conley. That was a good team. But one of the differences is back then you had the lockdown that the Spurs had and the Warriors teams. It was so hard to break through. Right now, you got a really interesting era going on in the NBA where you got the Suns that are having their moment. You had the Heat not too long ago. It's been a little bit more wide open where there's more belief that other teams can kind of break through from the big market teams to win a title.
Absolutely. And now, you know, Brooklyn may prove us wrong, but this whole idea of getting stars together, a bunch of them on one team, well, the Lakers kind of showed that doesn't always work this season. You know, the Brooklyn might just prove that, but there's not that superstar team. And what the Grizzlies do have, aside from their youth, is this is a very together team. I mean, you know, John Morant, if he's on the bench, he's cheering everybody else. I mean, you know, when he got his 52-point night, they're all celebrating with him on the court. You know, Desmond Bane had an incredible game, and they're all celebrating with him in the post-game interviews. You don't really see that in, you know, a lot of other teams, and that's the kind of thing that can really propel a team to some serious success.
Teresa, before we let you go, one of the things that I think, and I didn't get to see it last night, I was just reading up on it, but you know that any series that Patrick Beverley is in, he is going to make his presence known. He's going to, it's really like a hockey player, you know, where you try to agitate the other team. You're going to play that feisty defense. And as advertised, he was chippy last night, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. I mean, there was an early, I mean, that first quarter took like 41 minutes and the teams combined to shoot 33 free throws. And he was one of the first ones kind of involved with a, you know, drawing a foul on he drew a technical, actually, when John Morant was driving through the lane and Karl Towns got the foul and everything. And but he's kind of been quiet. You know, let's be honest. You know, one of the Grizzlies on Friday predicted that they'd have like a, you know, three techs at least in this series. And, you know, right now I think he might have two. I'm trying to think back to game one, but he's almost been a little quiet. He's been out there. I mean, his reactions, I tell you, he gets a foul called on him. You know, every player is innocent. They've never committed a foul. But he is very emotive when he comes to trying to sway his case. And he is having effect. I mean, he seems to be the primary defender on John Morant. But then John Morant had 23 and was one rebound off of a triple-double last night. So they're finding a way to keep him relatively quiet. But that said, it's Patrick Beverley. I mean, he was actually a Grizzly for like 36, 48 hours last August before they traded him to Minnesota. So I'm really curious to see, you know, him and Dylan Brooks are both known as pesky defenders, shall we say, prone to getting lots of fouls and lots of techs. Those are two to definitely keep an eye on in this series.
No doubt. Teresa, great perspective as always. Enjoy the rest of the series and get a little rest. We'll see you here soon. Busy time of the year.
Yes, it is, because trust me, I was while Darren was watching my game on Twitter, I was keeping track of what all the Predators did last night as well.
What are you going to do if we ever get a baseball team, Teresa?
I'll retire.
Good answer.
I should say, we do have a baseball team. I'm talking about a Major League Baseball team, I guess. But
yeah.
Teresa, great stuff.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Well, that is something to keep in mind, Darren. If we were bring up the dream of Major League Baseball in Nashville, we might lose Teresa in the process. But, you know, that'll be something we have to consider.
She's probably considering that's 10 years down the road, so maybe she's factoring
that. Oh, yeah, it's as we've talked about a lot, you know how I feel. It's going to be a long time. We've got a long way to go before we get into that game. All right, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. Even if you've got a thought of moving right now, you know it's hard. The house market, our city is growing like a weed in a good way. But, hey, that means very little inventory in terms of new houses. So if you've been thinking about, hey, let's move to another house, get something bigger, it's hard. Prices are crazy. Rates moving up a little bit. Here's a better idea. Let my friends at Loan Pronto refinance your current home. So turn the equity you have into cash and transform your current house with a new kitchen, new bathroom, whatever it is that you want to do to turn it into your dream home. Loan Pronto has got the great method. They're the leaders in fast and easy home refis. They can help you unlock that equity you have and do some amazing things, including turn your current house into the dream home. And you never have to move. So call Loan Pronto right now and ask about their home improvement refi. The home improvement refi. Give your home a makeover. And you can skip your next house payment in the process. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Special thanks to Teresa Walker for joining us. She was covering the Grizzlies T-Wolves last night at the FedEx Forum. Don't forget, we are the official home of NASCAR. This Sunday, 1 o'clock, the Geico 500 at Dega. Talladega Super Speedway. Plus, Chase and Checkers will get you juiced for the race starting at 8 a.m. Sunday morning right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Vroom, vroom, Talladega this weekend. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. I'm just telling you, pay very close attention to Devin Booker and what happens in that situation. They are a different team without him. Yes, they've got other really good players. Chris Paul and I'm drawing blanks. Who's the guy from Arizona?
DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, pretty big dude.
Boy, he's good.
He's pretty good.
Made a lot of money in college.
He did. Wow. Hey, according to the FBI.
Hey, the wiretap. I heard it.
You know? Yeah, he's really good. Look, they're really good. They're the one seed.
Why would you try to pull some strings to get that guy on your college team? I mean, he doesn't look like a good player.
Could he change your team? I don't know. It's a big deal. Although they didn't really do anything.
What are they seeing?
Right?
No, they really didn't. I mean, they were good, but of course he was only there for a year, and the whole cloud was there. But man, he is a player.
Isn't it weird how, you know? And I know, look, there's other examples where they do, but Ayton at Arizona, they didn't make any run. Embiid at Kansas, and I know Embiid had been battling injuries down the stretch, and he played, but I don't think he was right. But if you remember, Kansas went out early that year with Embiid.
With Andrew Wiggins on the team, too.
Yeah, that's right. They had Wiggins and Embiid. And that team went out, what, second round?
Stanford beat them in round two. And it wasn't even close in that game. Like, they beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah. So,
I'll tell you what's happening a lot in college sports with the combination of all these things. The transfer portal, the COVID situation. You have older college players that are not superstar pros, but they're really good college players. John Hines was talking about it in hockey. Michigan, for example, on the hockey front, has loads of first-round picks playing, but they're really young. They're 18 or 19. And there's these college teams that they have some guys that go to a postgraduate year. They had the COVID. Maybe they're transferring from other places. And so there's different ways that you could have a team full of 23, 24-year-old kids. The same thing happens in college basketball some. It's happening some in college baseball. And so the most talented players are there, but they're young. And so, like, I don't care how good you are. If you are 4 or 5 years older and have the experience and are a good player, it can level the playing field a little bit.
Unnamed texter, leave your name, who texts a lot but never leaves their name. The NBA is much deeper now. Goes on to say, the Grizzlies are one of the deepest squads I've ever seen, top to bottom. They can all play. You guys agree with that? More depth? You know, I think when we were growing up, Willie was probably more top-heavy, right? Everybody identified with these superstars. But
also, just a few years ago, you used to laugh. You used to say, hey, just mark it down. It'll be LeBron against the Warriors. It's going to happen. Of course, it did happen for, what, 3 straight years. So that's what was happening.
It was
even before that.
You're right. Yeah.
It was the Heat. It was the Spurs. It was the super team that was able to bunch the star players. But I think analytics are changing things. I think teams are getting smarter on how to build teams. I was just looking at our buddy Jimmy. You know who the favorite is now?
Shapiro?
Yeah. The favorite is the Warriors again.
Nah.
That's who they got. Now, I don't know
favorite?
If this is, yes, barely over the Suns. The Grizzlies are at 16-1. The Bucks, the defending champs, at 19-4. But the Bucks are a great example, and so are the Suns. Who would have thought 6, 7 years ago that those teams would be among the favorites to win the title, the Suns and the Bucks?
Well, certainly Golden State has everybody back, and yeah, they're going to be, if they have all the experience, and so yeah, I'm not poo-pooing them because they could. Because anytime you have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and here's the other part, going back to that text, they too have depth, right? They've got all these guys, some of these guys that have come out of nowhere, and they can get production elsewhere other than. Where I felt like it was always, well, you knew the usual suspects, right? It was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and then you just, well, I guess, and then for a time, the time you were talking about Kevin Durant, and then you could just stop. Like, it didn't matter. Because I remember we would have these conversations and be like, but they don't have any depth. And I'm like, you don't need any. Who cares? Who cares about players 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 on the roster? They're not depending on those guys to win. But to the point, and I agree with the text, you do look at these rosters now, and the NBA does have more depth than I can remember in a long time, up and down these rosters. They're not as reliant. Yes, they have superstars because you still need the superstars, but they're getting production from elsewhere too. Like every night I see this guy, you know, there's somebody, it's like, who? And they have like 38, right? Who was the guy for Philadelphia? Maxey?
Tyrese Maxey. Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, yes.
Him and Jordan Poole from years one to year two made significant jumps. And the Sixers don't win both those games if Maxey doesn't play like that. And the Warriors don't beat the Nuggets in those first two games if Jordan Poole doesn't play the way Jordan Poole's been playing.
Jordan Poole, there's another example. So what did you guys make of what Teresa said about Grizzlies ownership? What is it, Robert Pera? Is that his name?
I think it's how you pronounce it.
He's worth like $16 billion. He's younger than us, by the way. That's just really makes me mad. He's worth $16 billion. He's younger than us. But he's a guy that sounds like he's committed to winning this thing in Memphis, which, again, goes back to what we used to talk about. Willie and I get it. I was the one beating the drum the most. I was like, what's the point of even having a team in Memphis? No, when it was, you know, all the superstars would, you know, superstars unite, form a team in L.A., form a team in Miami. You know, they would just, and it was like Memphis doesn't have a chance of ever getting them. But now, because of the depth that, you know, you don't need to get them to come to you, although that may happen if the Grizzlies, but if you've got deep pockets and you keep drafting well, Memphis could certainly win it all, where I didn't think there was a time in the NBA there were certain markets I'm like, what's the point? Like, you can't win it. You can't keep your stars. You can't get anybody to go there. So what's the point? You're never truly going to be a contender. I think that has changed.
I think it's great for the league. But you don't have quite the same superstar power that drives the late rounds of the playoffs like you may did. So, but I think that's worth the sacrifice. But I go back, it's analytics. I think teams have just figured out how to work around, you know, how do I build a team that could hang with a team that has the two or three stars? Like you know, the Lakers are one of the more recent teams to try to do it, especially with LeBron, more of an aging player. And, of course, we know that just blew up in their face. But it went from being, how do I find the three guys that I can get to play together and then I'll put the pieces around them, to how do I just build a good team whether I have the stars or not? Don't you think there's some of that, Elijah?
Oh, there's a ton of that.
We're working around that.
This Grizzlies team is the best example because they were really bad for a few years and they hit on both lottery picks, which is huge, getting Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. Like, lucking into that, like, you need a little bit of that luck factor. But if you look at the role players that makes their team so good, they drafted in the later rounds of the draft with players that are very analytically inclined, like Brandon Clark, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks. All those guys were either back end of the first round or early second round. And just the fact that all those guys ended up helping you right away, they're older college players who are very productive, but maybe didn't have like the ceiling that a lot of teams in the NBA, when they're drafting, like reach for and pick way too high. They took guys that were seasoned college players that could help them right away, and they helped turn things around because it's not just Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. doing it by themselves.
Nate on our text line says, even though I'm not an NBA guy, I appreciate you guys with the Grizzlies coverage. Keep it up. I like to get more details than just a box score on a game or a series. So thanks. Thank you, Nate, for that and for the text. Chris Mason will begin the final hour. We'll talk more Preds and hockey with C. Mace at 1 o'clock. And also Candace Lee, Vanderbilt Athletics Director, at 1:30. They had some announcements yesterday. We'll get into all that with her at 1:30. More DDC next. The NFL draft is in 8 days. Can you believe that? We are just over a week out. And our draft coverage will be on that Thursday and Friday of next week. Presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. Be sure to join us on site. We'll be broadcasting live on Thursday at 3rd and Home. And that's Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark. You can also watch all of our coverage on our Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So keep that in mind. Next Thursday and Friday, draft coverage. Speaking of third and home will be sliding over just a little bit off to the right of third and home in the press box tomorrow at First Horizon. Looking forward to that. Our first appearance at First Horizon this year where the Sounds play. Looking forward to that.
That'll be nice.
Baseball.
How about the Sounds? Three consecutive shutouts. You see that?
Yeah.
Sounds playing good ball.
They are.
Three straight shutouts. Dylan Fyle, the latest one.
Not easy to do.
A five hitter.
Not easy to do. And before I started postgame last night in Patron Platinum Club, there was a Freddie Freeman Dodgers jersey spotted in Patron Platinum Club.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. That was aggressive and that was fast.
It was. Braves beat them last night, though.
They did. They did. But they didn't the night before when Freddie homered on his first at-bat.
Yep, he did.
And first home run in a Dodgers uniform.
They beat Walker Buehler last night. So it was a couple of heavyweights. Braves are kind of up and down, but they've had a tough schedule. They've been out west early on. So they're around 500. And if they can hang around, then they'll get Acuna back and you know, they'll be right there, I think. Mets swept the Giants in a doubleheader yesterday. I was glad to see that.
Hey, your boys are off to a good start.
They're playing well.
They are.
Knock on wood.
So I had this conversation, ironically, last night, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Because I was trying to think of all sports, you know, all things encompassing. Like, have you ever seen it? This is my take on Freddie Freeman. Like, he could have. Like, it seemed to be the whole hang-up over a year. And when you really get down to it, when you think about what he got from the Dodgers and what the Braves ultimately were offering him, I ask you this. Was that money, was that going to really change his life? Was that going to change his life, his lifestyle? What has he made? Already $100 million, and we're talking about $45 million as opposed to $130 million. Was that really going to change his lifestyle? I get it. You're saying, well, does $15 million change? Well, it does, but it doesn't when you get to a certain level. Like, does it change your lifestyle? If you have $250 million or you have $265 million or $270 million, does it change your lifestyle? My answer is I don't think so. But what it changed is how he's going to be viewed from that fan base forever. Like, there's never going back. If Freddie Freeman signs the contract with the Braves, he goes off into, you know, Mount Rushmore of Braves players all time, right? He goes down as one of the most beloved Braves players ever in franchise history. There's not a doubt in my mind. I don't know, if you disagree, let me know. But now he'll never be viewed by the – now, some will be fine with it. They're still going to love Freddie Freeman no matter what, and this is not going to change their mind. But there is a portion of the fan base – that will never go back to Freddie. Now he's a villain. Now he's going to get booed. I mean, we've seen Ryan Suter get booed here for 10 years. I mean, it changes everything. And I just think it's a really interesting decision. Unless I missed behind the scenes where Atlanta said, hey, man, just going to be honest with you, we don't want you. So your best just to go find a deal elsewhere. We're not interested in you. Unless that was said, you know, behind closed doors, which I doubt it, then I could see why then he left. I just don't understand why somebody would choose, because he could be associated with the Braves organization the rest of his life, right, and do whatever he wants and be honored at all times and do anything that is involving the organization for the rest of his life, because he would be beloved as one of the, you know, the most appreciated, most popular players of all time. Now he'll never get that. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, there's no question. So there's either one of two things happen. A, he took some bad advice, because most economic analysts, baseball analysts who study this kind of thing, the deal he took from the Dodgers was not a better deal than the Braves offered him, because of the deferred money, even though he got the extra year. So I think that is one angle. And then number two might be, deep down, he didn't want to stay there. If he wanted to go out west, then that's his choice. So it's one of two things. I don't know if we'll ever know the answer, but he made the choice. I think if he really wanted to stay and he got a little outside perspective, he would have realized that the Braves actually offered him a better deal. But you know what? The Braves might be better off as a franchise moving forward with Matt Olson. He's off to a good start. They got him for less money. So their budget is probably better for longer as a younger player.
LeBron James could have had that same, and he probably still does because he did it twice and he won a championship. I was going to say
he might go back a third time.
Well, he could, you know, but I don't know. I guess it depends on where his son lands. But, you know, he could have had that in Cleveland no matter what. I think LeBron James is probably a little bit different because he's worldly, right? He's just at a different level than Freddie
Freeman.
Yeah,
and he's stayed with his roots there. He's got the school there. He's made a big effort. And so you can have countless examples of that. They're all unique in some way.
But I just think
the contract negotiation is where Freddie Freeman missed the boat. The deferred money, that wasn't a sound move. Credit to the Dodgers for figuring out a way to best their offer and find a way for them to land him.
I do wonder why players don't, or maybe they do. Like I said, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. So a lot of this, you know, well, you know, Freddie could pull me aside or his agent and say, well, yeah, but this is what the Braves were telling us. What'd you expect us to do? And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I get it. But if that didn't go on, and they were really, truly interested in, you know, signing him, maybe not to exactly what he wanted, why you would not factor that in? Because now you can never recapture that. You just won't. You will never recapture that with a fan base. And we've seen this in sports. And I wonder why. I know agents don't care because agents are about who's offering the most money.
But it's also a two-way street. There's probably a player or two that wanted to be that guy. Like, I guarantee you that Ryan Ellis never wanted to leave the Predators. He wanted to play his entire career there. But then sometimes the team trades you. So it goes the other way, too.
Yeah. I guess so. So, I mean, you've seen it work. You've seen both sides of it. But anyway, I just thought of that last night. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the Titans, of course. David Ubben will begin the third hour. We'll get into an interesting conversation with him. But a little Titans talk here to close out hour number two. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry back here on the DDC. Well, pretty good little segue. It's always nice to get breaking news with kind of the direction of where you were going next. To close out the hour, Willie, I was going to set you up for us to discuss A.J. Brown. But during the break, Jeff Darlington comes out with this breaking news. Have you seen it?
Nope.
Remember, we've been talking about this group of receivers, right, being lumped in. We got into this yesterday with Tim Hasselbeck and kind of ranking the four. D.K. Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. Jeff Darlington, breaking news. I just spoke to wide receiver Deebo Samuel, and he has told me that he has asked the 49ers to trade him. He did not want to discuss specific reasons behind his request, but has indeed let the 49ers know his desire to leave the organization. More to come. Wow. That escalated in a hurry.
So what do you do if you're the 49ers?
Well, you know what I've said before. Just because a player says he wants to get traded doesn't mean you have to do it. He's kind of important to what they do. But also, what is this going to create? Is this going to be a mess? Is he going to do what Antonio Brown and others have done, basically force his way out? Which is interesting because everything I've read and everything I've heard on Deebo Samuel is he really respects and loves playing for Kyle Shanahan. And now this is the new trend in the NFL. And the reason we're talking about it is because this does affect the Titans. This just in. The new trend is wide receivers have said, fine, you want to pay the quarterbacks? You think they're so important? Well, how important are they without us? We want our money too. You're going to pay them 40 and 45 and 50 and $55 million a year? Where's our money? They can't do it without us. That's the new trend by wide receivers in the NFL. Player
power. I heard the player empowerment was the term that Sal Palantonio was on with the guys this morning. And he used that terminology. They were talking about this very thing, that they just see the ability to push the market, push the envelope. You can't live without me. So I'm going to get more money. I'm going to change the marketplace. So it becomes a battle. And this is definitely going to complicate things for A.J. Brown until we see exactly how this shakes out. Because you have two choices if you're the 49ers. You can say no, or you can accommodate his request. So apparently, you know, they've been working on stuff behind the scenes, and Samuel doesn't like where it's going at all. And he is one of the more unique players in the game, I think, with the way he moves the needle. Where would they have been last year? I can certainly see his camp. Yeah, he was the difference maker for them on offense.
There's no doubt about it. Which was interesting,
like
Willie.
Work?
Because
you're on
Tim,
your first contract. You haven't reached the second contract yet, so you're just breaking the tradition here, and you're once again it's upsetting the market. This happened in hockey a few years ago. Remember? Miro Heiskanen, Mikko Rantanen, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, those ultra talented players that basically said, look, I know what you normally do. You wait till the entry-level contract's over, then there's a nice little bridge contract while he's a restricted free agent, and then we'll get the big money when he's 26, 27. Those guys changed the market. It's now different. When you have a star like that, you get creative, and you start buying the gears. You saw what the Stars did with Heiskanen, right? They bought the big years while he was young, and teams didn't used to do that. So that's what these receivers are trying to do. They're trying to change the norm when you are a number one receiver and a big difference maker. You want the money now in the prime of your career, or you want more money than what you've been making.
But here's the difference.
So you're trying to raise that bar.
Here's the difference, and tell me if you agree or disagree. The difference, the trend, and baseball needs to be doing a better job of this. They've been honestly pretty dumb. Not to be doing what the Braves did with Acuña. Like, this should be going on all around
baseball.
You think
more teams should do that. Yeah.
Especially
Mookie
position
Betts players.
Would probably still be in Boston.
Red Sox.
If the Red Sox would have done this, they totally blew it with Mookie Betts.
Absolutely could have done it with Mookie Betts.
They could have done it, and instead they end up paying him, you know, losing arbitration, then lose the player. Like, how dumb is that? And you brought up some hockey examples. It's been done in this market with the Predators. You use the Dallas reference. It's smart, but they're getting him at a discount. Like, Acuña is a joke of a bargain, right? That contract is a joke considering what he means to them and how he good is in the landscape of baseball. But here's the difference, though. They get them at a bargain, considering, right? They get them, I want to say, on the cheap compared to where they would be now if they would have waited and for that second contract. Is that happening, though, with these four? Do you think you can we just talked about it yesterday. 22 spot rack, right? Or spot track came on and said $22 to $25 million range for A.J. Brown. Is that really on the cheap? 4 years in the league? $22 to $25 million per? Like, I don't know if you're getting them on the cheap. So how do NFL teams with a salary cap make this work? Because I don't think it's the same as hockey and baseball because they get them on the cheap at an early age, and I'm not so sure they're going to get these receivers on the cheap.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And, of course, there is the flexible salary cap in football, but I think you're looking for that guaranteed contract. Here's what I wonder about Samuel. We know the Jets have been heavily rumored in this whole thing. Almost at the start, it was like people were laughing, like, what, the Jets, A.J. Brown? Do you think the Jets, though, have made it known through their channels, look, we will pay that money for one of these guys?
Yes.
So if you're offering,
my answer
is
yes.
We'll pay the money. So Debo Samuel's camp must feel like, okay, we can get this money from somebody. So do the Jets end up being the premier team that comes to the table and offers a deal to the 49ers to get Debo Samuel?
The league is mad at the Browns for what is viewed as a really dumb contract to give Deshaun Watson, considering you don't know what the suspension is, all the stuff surrounding him. But the Browns have been widely viewed over decades as being a dumb organization. The Jets have also been viewed as a dumb organization. So are they willing to go out there, get name power for their young quarterback, and do whatever it takes? I believe yes. The answer is yes.
Overpay? Yeah, overpay. The answer would be overpay.
Yeah.
And the other question is, does Debo Samuel's agent care that now, he lives in San Francisco. Cost of living out there is huge. So going from there to New York wouldn't be too much of a change. But that is something, again, that I don't think it's talked about enough in terms of A.J. Brown, that your money goes further in Tennessee than it would in New York. So that should be taken into account. Now, what about the Colts closer to home here?
Absolutely.
They need a wide receiver. Are they in this game? And, you know, are they willing to pay what a Debo Samuel camp is looking for? Because here's what the 49ers could do. If they, you know, the ball's in their court, they could sort of ignore this request and say, you know what, you can't go anywhere. You're under contract with us. Tough. Sit out if you want to. We'll, you know, you don't want to earn your salary. We're willing to wait it out. And then we can franchise you. There's that move. Or they can say, okay, go find your deal. And then come back to us and we'll see if we like it or not. They could. If they've reached that point where they say to themselves, we can live without them. If we get a really good deal thrown to us, we'll make the deal.
If you're just hearing this,
come back to them and say, you know what? Hey, you've got some leverage here. We got to rethink this. We'll pay you what you want. How bad do you want to keep Debo Samuel?
I've got more thoughts on this because I think this is going to create a real problem in the NFL.
Oh, man.
For the cap. And we're going to get into this.
It's home because later it is directly affecting AJ
Brown. I know, exactly. And we'll get into this more in the third hour. But if you're hearing this for the first time, you're not sure what we're talking about, breaking news, Debo Samuel has asked the 49ers to trade him. He wants out. Very interesting. Like I said, I've got thoughts on this new trend in the NFL with receivers that is really going to put teams in a tough, tough position. And we may be talking about the team right here in our backyard. But first, we're going to come back and start the third hour with David Ubben from The Athletic. And we do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.